You're listening to SBS News.
The federal government has confirmed the federal budget will include measures to help students, with $3 billion of student debt to be wiped and a payment for those undertaking mandatory work placements in social work, nursing, midwifery and teaching. Griffith University Vice-Chancellor Carolyn Evans spoke with Biwa Kwan on who is set to benefit from the changes and other reform challenges for the sector.
I am absolutely thrilled. We've been saying to the government that this is a critical issue in terms of trying to both secure a skilled workforce that Australia needs in health and in social work and education, but also in equity for students who are not well off. We've had some students at my own university, but I know this is across the country, who find themselves in really dire straits trying to undertake hundreds of hours of unpaid placements, and some of them even living in their cars while they're trying to undertake their placements, and some of them drop out of their courses altogether or take many more years to complete their courses because they can't afford it. So I couldn't be more thrilled by today's announcement.
This has been canvassed in the interim report and also in parliamentary inquiries. You mentioned some of the anecdotal data there. Dropout seems quite severe and lack of ability to graduate. Do we have any more insight into just how extensive that problem actually is?
We don't have national data because while we know how many people drop out of those courses or take a long time to complete those courses, we don't always know the causes of that. We did a bit of work at Griffiths with respect to our nursing midwifery courses, though, which suggested that a decent percentage, you know, maybe up to 15% of those who did drop out did so because of the financial pressures caused by placement poverty. And certainly we know anecdotally, it's even something that stops people starting those courses in the first place, because I think, you know, particularly if they might be slightly older people who have their own families, their own children, will I actually be able to manage not only not receiving an income myself, maybe having to stop the job that they're doing part-time to help them through university, but maybe also finding childcare for my children while I might be out on a regional placement somewhere.
Has this always been a systemic issue, or is this something that's just really come to light during the pandemic?
So I think it's an issue that's always been there, but two things are making it particularly acute at the moment. The first is the cost of living crisis that's impacting all Australians. And of course, if you have to undertake a placement and you have to transport yourself during that placement, the fact that the cost of living is high at the moment makes that difficult. The second thing is, I suppose it's part of that as well, the lack of availability of housing or the real expense of housing. And that's particularly difficult for people who need to do their placements in regional or rural Australia. We really want to encourage people to go out and do placements in our schools and our hospitals and in social work in the regions, because that makes it more likely that they'll work there in the longer term. But it often means that they have to leave home and try and find somewhere to live. And even if they have the money sometimes, that's quite difficult at the moment. It's certainly more expensive than it used to be. So the problem's been there for a long time, but I think it's become more acute and created greater pressure on students in the last few years.
What I was hearing in the testimony and evidence given by those in the university sector was that universities were really finding themselves at the limit of what they could provide in terms of stipends and support and the like. What's your view of the issue of the role of universities to try and solve this issue?
Oh, absolutely. We are not funded for those areas in a way that allows us to also give students the sort of support they need. We're all bending over backwards, I think, to try and find, you know, a $500 support here or $1,000 there in terms of support or bursaries. And that everything helps. But we simply don't have the resources, and we are not paid in a way for things like nursing and social work and so forth that actually gives us sufficient funding to be able to also pay for the support of living. And that's not really universities' role. I mean, trying to make sure that Australians are kept out of desperate poverty, and particularly Australians who are trying to fill really critical workplace needs, yeah, that's the role of the government, and the government has rightly picked that up rather than something that can wholly be put on universities.
And the term placement poverty has been used, as mentioned by the Minister. It's also been used in some of the writings here. Do you think that's the appropriate term to be talking about this issue, and what is it exactly you're referring to?
Yes, I think placement poverty is the right thing to be talking about. There are two ways that people talk about it. One is, you know, should you just be paid for placements? Now, on the whole, I think that's not right. Placements are learning experiences. They're a different type of classroom. We need people to be supervised and supported and able to have a proper learning experience rather than just be treated as an employee and paid as an employee. But what we need to do is try and make sure that people who are in these situations are not pushed into poverty while they do so, that they are still able to have a roof over their head, they're still able to have 3 meals a day, they're still able to afford their textbooks. If they've got kids, those kids, you know, can still have their placements in childcare or what have you. So I think placement poverty is the right focus. Let's try and make sure that students who are undertaking these placements are not pushed really into poverty and sometimes therefore out of their education altogether, or are just so burnt out by the time that they graduate, they're not going to be the right sort of employees that our society so desperately needs. And I think that is the right focus, rather than just looking at this as, oh, you know, everybody should be paid for doing placements. If we do that, I think we'll see a huge decrease in placements and also possibly a real decline in the educational value of those placements as employers just look to, you know, get the right value out of employees rather than see these people as people who are part of an education process.
You also say in this piece that not dealing with placement poverty makes it less likely that cultural groups that are underrepresented in the health profession will be incentivised or attracted to studying. Is that something that we've been able to measure at all, or how do we get a sense of that?
In some ways, for me, this is a little bit more anecdotal, but some of the areas that Griffith has university campuses in, like Logan, for example, which is an area with a very multicultural population but also some quite ingrained poverty, we hear from school principals and we hear from the students and sometimes the parents themselves that the concern about the cost of going to university full stop is very much something that's on people's minds when they decide whether to go to university, and that's particularly acute for first in family and for communities, Indigenous communities, Māori, Pacifica, refugee communities, where perhaps there isn't a lot of history in the family of going to university or further education. And we also hear that concerns about these the placements issues is playing on people's minds. So we don't have a lot of data that I'm aware of that can measure this specifically, but certainly it's something that we hear from a lot of the communities we work in.
Announcement on the HECS debt, change in the way the indexation works, mean that students save on average up to $1,200 based on that measure. How do you respond to that?
It's been a very good week, I have to say. Two wonderful announcements 2 days in a row. So I think this is great for people who have graduated with the debt, add to having a cost of living saving. I think it is also helpful for the groups that I was just talking about who are perhaps a bit fearful of going to university, because one of the things they're worried about is an out-of-control debt. Not that they can't take some debt on, but they don't even know how much that debt will be because of indexation. So I think that's going to be a good thing for them. There is one piece of that puzzle, though, that still needs to be worked on, and I completely understand that the government's going to need to delay that work for a little while, but that's the size of the debt in the first place. So indexation issues are fine, but if the size of the debt's getting too large, as it is in some of our areas, business, law, humanities, the students are really paying an unfair proportion of their degree and an unfairly large amount of money. So it's great to get the indexation piece solved, and that's sort of in some ways the easier short-term thing. In the medium term, I'd also love to see the government starting to work on a fairer distribution of government support and student payment across all of our degrees.
Are you referring there, Carolyn, to the changes that were made in the last 5 years where the government was trying to incentivise certain workforces in STEM careers, and therefore the kind of HECS debt of humanities students were disproportionately increased, but evidence suggests that that really hasn't changed the choices that students are making on where they're studying?
That's right. So the so-called Job Ready Graduates program, it hasn't made a lot of change overall, but some of my colleagues, particularly who work in some of the poorer regions, have seen actually it's poor kids being pushed out of those areas. So there's still fine choice for middle and higher income students, but a lot of students who are in more financially precarious situations are perhaps being discouraged from those degrees, and they shouldn't be. And students are just really being paid quite unfair amounts of difference in terms of how much the government supports different degrees and how much charged for degrees, which has no good basis in our view in public policy.
There's been quite a transformation in the way the HECS scheme works, in the sense that there would be a debate where, well, in the US, everyone has to pay. That's your education. And then on the other hand, people go, well, in Australia in the 70s, we had people going to uni for free. So where do you think we need to be looking at this when it comes to the situation that a lot more people are studying at universities these days in Australia?
So I think the HECS system generally is a very fair middle ground. When the HECS system came into play, not really when Gough Whitlam made the universities free, but when the HECS system was introduced, that we saw a huge expansion in the number of places for universities. So back in the days when there was a reasonable amount of HECS, that there was a reasonable share between the government paying some and the students paying some, and it was delayed until people earned a reasonable amount of money, I think that system is perfectly fair, but I think it's just got too far out of whack now.
And so it is appropriate that basically can't go back to the days of the 70s where university was free, but we need to get the settings, the balance right there on how the help loan can be paid back.
Yeah, university education is both a public and a private good, and it's reasonable that it's looked at and paid for in that way. Unlike the US, this isn't a debt that has to be repaid if people find themselves in desperate poverty or illness. You know, you have to be earning money before you repay it, and you don't have to pay it up front. But if we want to go back to the 70s, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to go back to only 5% of the population going to university as well? So I would prefer to see us reform the current system rather than try to throw it all out and start again.
Was there anything on your wish list of what you'd like to consider? I mean, the federal budget's pretty much finalised at this point, but a major burning issue that's unresolved?
Look, I think it's the long-term financial sustainability of universities. Universities Australia, of which I'm on the board, absolutely, along with the government, wanted to prioritise helping cost of living issues for students and graduates. Completely reasonable that that's the first cab off the rank, but particularly with the changes to visas at the moment, a lot of universities are finding themselves in a very financially precarious position. That's going to be a big, complex piece of policy work. But if we think universities are a really important part of our society, and I certainly do, we need to make sure that they're on a sound footing and a footing that is not overly reliant on international students. And for the last couple of decades, really, the government and the public purse has been able to withdraw from funding of universities and just help us, you know, expect us all to be reliant on international visas. Well, if we're going to have very few international visas as well, we're just going to have to come up with a different funding model for universities.